He was a type of competitor and player. When he ran on the field, it tilted in his team's favor.
He's on the road, and he's got a man open. Yeah. Bullet. Perfect throw by Brett Favre.
Nothing short of amazing.
Proved again what a terrific player he is.
If you want to study Brett Favre's career, just watch the first game he played.
You always knew he could make that throw that a lot of quarterbacks couldn't.
There's a man. He's wide open. Touchdown. Kittrick Taylor. Great pass by Favre.
Ty Detmer would always say, I would never make that throw. Where I would say, what's the big deal?
I'd be on the sidelines yelling, no, no, no. And he'd throw it and I'd go, yes, yes. Because it worked.
I wasn't one of those that loved to play when things were good. I loved to play regardless.
He came into the locker room and he fit in with everybody.
He played the game a certain way for competition, for enjoyment, for the fans, for his teammates.
Laughing, crying, blocking. Whatever. I just wanted to play.
In my 38 years, he is the best player I've ever been around.
He helped resurrect a franchise that had been in the doldrums for 24 years. I just don't think we can ever thank him enough for his contributions to the Green Bay Packers.
Ron Wolf has been given control and given a five-year contract to bring the Packers back to prominence.
I'm here to assure Packer fans that I will be doing everything in my power to make this football team a consistent contender and NFL champion once again.
He comes here with full authority to run the football operation. Every major football decision will be made by Ron Wolf.
Vince Lombardi came in 59 and rescued a franchise that was in turmoil and made it great. And Ron Wolf did the same thing in 1991 and did it in a hurry. We brought Ron in to be introduced as our new general manager on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And he had some scouting assignments left for the New York Jets. And he says, Bob, I'm going to go finish my scouting assignments. You're in Atlanta Sunday. He said, I'll meet you at Atlanta. So I'm in the press box early on Sunday morning waiting for him. And he comes up, puts a briefcase down next to me, and he says, I'm going to go watch Atlanta's backup quarterback. If his arm is still as strong as it was coming out of college, we're going to go after him. I took the flip card to find out who Atlanta's quarterback was. I thought it was a guy named Favre. Ron came back probably within 15, 20 minutes and says, we're going to make a trade for Brett Favre. The decision was made that day.
I was so excited about having an opportunity to get Brett Favre. I can't say he's the most physically gifted. I'll say this, as far as throwing the football, he was perfect.
We gave up the 17th pick, as you know, for this. One thing we're basing most of this on is what we saw in college. I think he's a tremendous leader. And that in itself will really help us down the road.
I realize I'm a Green Bay Packer now, and I'm happy. Maybe I can prove that I am worth the first-round pick next year, but in time you will see that I am. You just got to be patient and give me time because I promise I can be the man eventually.
Let's face it, I tied my career to Brett Favre. We're like connected at the hip, so to speak.
I knew a lot about Green Bay just from being a history buff and just a fan of the game. Couldn't really tell you where it was. I knew it was cold and it was up north. But I have to admit, maybe other guys would have been like, oh, brother. I was excited. I really was excited. And this is even before I knew when they had been to the playoffs, who their starting quarterback was, who their head coach was. I just wanted to play. And I was not going to get that opportunity in Atlanta anytime soon. So I knew this when I was traded for a first-round pick, and I was drafted in the second round. That was a good thing. I wasn't the smartest guy around, but I knew that this is a great opportunity, and I am not going to let it slip away.
Is it true the Packer doctors failed you on your physical, and Dr. Wolf came down and unfailed you in short order? Was that true?
No, it's true. It's true. I had what was thought to be a vascular necrosis.
I called Pat McKenzie. It was something involving his hip. And Pat said during the course of our conversation that he could probably play about 4 years. Well, all I heard was about 4 years. That's when I got up, walked down, and told him we're going to pass the guy.
I was examined, scrutinized. I was told how long I would play, what was to be expected, how long before I had a hip replacement, all these things. Well, heck, I didn't know. I knew that it was a problem, not all the time. And over time, that problem became more infrequent. And I knew my mentality that I could overcome anything. And so Ron was on my side, and I had the right guy on my side. And I can say it now, he picked the right guy, because there was nothing that was going to stop me.
How raw were you, Brett, when you came to Green Bay?
And looking back, had you asked me that question right away, I would have thought, you know, I'm ready. And I think that's part of the beauty of my success is that naive mentality. But as I look back, Mike Holmgren had his work cut out for him. He left a great organization that winning was nothing. And playing the quarterback position was the way it was supposed to be played. And he obviously was a coach that. He had Joe Montana, he had Steve Young. Then he gets me, who here's a guy that could throw it as far as anyone, could throw it through anything. And that was good, but that was the problem. Why read anything when you can throw it through them? I can remember us sitting in meetings, and very rarely does the head coach sit in there with you, but Mooch would be watching, we'd watch film, and if I knew if it was a suspect game and Mike was in there, it wasn't good. And he said, what are you looking at here? What are you looking at here? Why'd you make that throw? And Moose just kind of sat there, and Ty Detmer and Brunell, they would always be laughing, kicking me under the table. Why'd you make that throw? And I was not being sarcastic, but it came across that way. I said, because I can. And that was the truth. So how do you curtail that? How do you, there's a time and place, you know, pick your spots and do those things. And it was always a work in progress, but finding a way to manage me and make it work and harness this talent. That's why Mike Holmgren is the best coach that I've ever played for.
He was a supremely talented young guy who had no fear when he played the position and really believed that it didn't matter what the circumstances were, he could do this against that. So my job was to kind of allow him to be the gunslinger he was, but try and mold it just a little bit to get all the good stuff and kind of eliminate some of the bad stuff.
Touchdown, Packers!
At this play.
Mike was hard on Brett, all the quarterbacks. He had very little patience for that position to be efficient. I don't think he cared if it was Brett or someone else. I think he just expected that position to play very well. He was really from scratch, everything that we did with Brett.
I knew what we had. And the faster I could get him to do what I thought he needed to do, that was going to mean everything to our team, to the city of Green Bay. So yeah, I pushed hard. And I want to give him credit, Brett credit, because it's not easy for a talented guy like that who has had success playing the game a certain way. He became a very, very efficient quarterback. He still made these plays no one else can make.
He is there, it is sharp. Touchdown, Packers.
But once he learned the offense and knew the offense, boy, he was hard to stop.
If you want to study Brett Favre's career, just watch the first game he played. Because really, it gives you a synopsis of everything the guy was capable of doing. He fumbled the ball. He did the wrong thing on audibles. He made some fantastic throws.
He won the game.
Here's Favre. Favre goes straight back in the pocket. Now he pumps it. Now he's going to the end zone. There's a man.
He's wide open.
Touchdown. It is caught. Kittrick Taylor has scored it. Oh, my goodness.
Was it lucky? Yes. Was it awesome? Yes. Was it crazy? Yes. Was it bad things? Of course. Was it everything in his career that we saw over 16 years in Green Bay happened in that game, you know? And so that was a good start. And then, what, 320-some games later, he's doing the same things.
I can think of no finer moment than in 1992 that pass to Kittrick Taylor. That kid came in there and threw that pass, and a new legend emerged.
Would you say you're proudest of the 321 straight games?
That's the only one that really matters. What drove me was, oh, Brett, he'll be there.
We have a chance today if he's getting dressed.
And that's what I thought about. There's no way I'm letting him down now.
Brett, of all the things, all the skins you have on the wall, and they're considerable, would you say you're proudest of the 321 straight games?
That's the only one that really matters, and I hate to even say that one even matters because I don't want to come across as being a stat guy. But to me, that's not really a stat. Stat is completion percentage, touchdowns. None of that happens without you playing. And anyone who's played, of course, you're one of those. Anyone who knows anything about the game has to scratch their head like I do and say, damn, that guy is not only tough, but he has got to be half loony. No one does that. No one wants to do that.
Of course, there were many close calls over the course of the streak, but none closer than in 95. When the Packers played the Vikings just 58 games into it.
Chimera into the backfield for the Packers and comes in motion to the right. Here's Favre on second down. Quick pattern over the middle, knocked away from Mark Ingram.
Oh, Favre is limping pretty badly here.
Yeah, he is. You're right.
His own man fell on his ankle.
Brett is down on the ground and he's hurting badly.
Sometimes you get players, guys listed on the injury report, you're never quite sure. But I saw his ankle and he was really hurt. And he could not practice all week.
I've had sprained ankles. I go over to his ankle, Larry, and it looks like a rainbow. It got some purples, some red, some yellow in there. And Doc McKenzie is just kind of squeezing on it. And he's just looking, and he should be in pain.
He had it in a wrap like crazy, in a boot. It was almost like a cast because it had to be so tight. And right from the start, it was like, hey, there's no way he's going to get ready to play. We're hoping to get him back in a week or two or three.
Saturday before the game, the trainers are coming up to me, and he's coming up. I think I might be able to go. I said, well, you haven't practiced all week, you know. And I know players like him, they can always go. You go, look, here's what we'll do. Tomorrow we'll see how it feels. You wrap it up. If you go tomorrow, then you'll play. He was hurt, and he did not practice. It was remarkable.
Favre back in the pocket. Seems to be running all right. Screen play to Bennett. Bennett opened up the 15 to the 10. To the 5. Touchdown,
Green Bay. Favre. Play action. Brooks, short drop. Comes up over the middle. It's caught. Brooks, 10. Brooks with the 5. Touchdown.
Well, play action fake. They're going to throw it into the end zone. 11. Touchdown. Favre with an out pattern out there. Robert Brooks. It hung up.
He got away. He's going to score. Brooks.
Here's Favre. Straight back. Now he wants to roll to the right. He's coming back with the screen to the left edge
and
of Bennett.
The Packers have had a stiff touchdown pass thrown by Brett Favre.
Yeah, my ankle was really, really beat up. But had I looked back and was able to, you know, to offer myself advice, I probably would have said, you need to sit this one. You know, it's hard enough on two good ankles.
You went out 25 or 33, 336 yards, 5 TDs, and you needed every one of them, 35-28 victory.
Dang, I forgot that, Larry. I really did. I knew it was a good game, but dang, Brett, you were actually pretty decent.
Really good.
Really good. Maybe I should have played Hurt more often. everything worked in spite of my body. It didn't really work. And that was the beauty of, like, when I played injured. I don't know if I can think of a time when I played injured where I played bad. That was kind of the springboard, really, to so I could do this for the rest of my career.
I would walk through the locker room in the middle of the week sometimes, and he could hardly walk. He was so bruised from the previous Sunday. And yet, Sunday afternoon, he'd come running out of the tunnel ready to give this franchise and its fans everything he could.
Bad ankles, he got bad hips, he got bad shoulders, bad hands. He's playing. And I think that sets a tenor for everybody else.
The majority of guys watched what he did and said, you know, if he can do it, I can do it. The guys played longer than anybody else on the team. Get out there and play.
To accomplish to do that for 20 years, not miss a game, including playoffs, I mean, you'll never see that again.
Now think about it. Everybody's missed a game. Never missed a game. If he's getting dressed, okay, guys, we got a chance today. That's all we have. That's all God tells you. We have a chance today if he's getting dressed. And he knew it, too.
I loved to play. I really did. Doing it with my teammates, laughing, crying, blocking, whatever was important to me. It really was. And over time, when I became injured and it was threatening to maybe the next week, what drove me was, oh, Brett, he'll be there. And that's what I thought about. And I said, there's no way I'm letting him down now. My dad, that's what was important to him, football.
He stood in front of all of us, strawberry-faced, crying, emotional, and he told us, my dad would want me to play.
There's no other place I would have rather have been than in Oakland, preparing for that game.